Oh, Sharon, no, she didn't.
You're going to say something
else. Oh, really? This is the Colleen and Bradley show.
It's a wig.
MyTalk 107.1, streaming live at MyTalk107.1.com. Everything Entertainment, Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer.
Hi.
Sharon Osbourne, it's still a thing, y'all. But what's actually exciting today is that Cheryl Underwood is spilling the tea.
Yeah, she is not under this wood. She is on top of it. I don't know. I tried.
Okay,
fine.
That didn't go well.
Okay, but she is talking on her podcast, and she did like a 3-part series, apparently, supposedly. I read the report of the report. I have not listened to her podcast, but I read this article all about it, so clearly I know stuff.
Obviously.
But it's so obvious that everything we thought about how this went down. Excuse me.
Oh, he's getting all choked up again.
When it comes to Sharon Osbourne's unceremonious exit from the talk, this is all exactly how we expected it went down. That's what she's sharing on this podcast. And it just reiterates for me that all is right in the world. So people have tried to make this a thing. Sharon Osbourne tried to make her exit from the talk a thing, right? Like the world, Piers Morgan, everybody is trying to make this a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is nothing more than Sharon Osbourne was unqualified for her job,
mm-hmm.
and therefore has no longer that job.
Mm-hmm.
Let me explain. So in this particular 3-part podcast that Cheryl is sort of spilling the tea, she starts by dealing with something we'd heard possibly happen from Sharon herself right after this all went down. Now, I don't know how much I need to back up, but we'll say there was a very inappropriate, confrontational episode of The Talk wherein Sharon kind of, I mean, I would call it white-splained Cheryl.
Yeah.
For how she should feel.
Yeah.
About her friend Piers Morgan in a way that was just so shocking and uncomfortable and led to like an HR investigation. There was some stuff, right? Regardless of that stuff, after the fact, Sharon said that she had reached out to Cheryl and hadn't heard anything back. Like she was going to apologize, right? She reached out. That's what Sharon said.
Yeah.
And I know it's hard because Sharon. Sharon said she reached out to Cheryl. Well, Cheryl starts off by saying, no, she did not attempt to contact me. In fact, she went through her phone as she was talking about it to confirm that very fact.
Mm.
And this is despite the fact that a rep for Osbourne had previously told people in other media outlets that she did reach out to her.
Yeah.
So she's lying. So Sharon, when confronted with what all went down, tried to play the victim,
mm-hmm.
and tried to show that she was the better person. You know, like, I tried to reach out to her, but I haven't heard anything, and that's fine. But no, you didn't, according to Cheryl.
Rude.
Yeah. So she starts there. She also goes into that whole claim about how, and this I think is telling, Sharon, remember, said that she was blindsided.
Right.
Oh, they mm-hmm. blindsided me with these questions about race.
Which, by the way, makes it sound, by the way she describes it, tries to make it sound to the average person who's not paying close attention that she was set up.
Yeah.
And that's what she wants you to think,
yeah.
is that they painted her into a corner and she had no choice but to do the things she did.
She had a whole story, and mm-hmm. that story was laid out in an interview she did with Entertainment Tonight.
It's a real good show.
And she was like, I walked in at this timestamp, and they said, I'm going to ask a question about this. And then a few timestamps later, they came back to me and said, what about this? And then when they asked me the question, I was totally unprepared and no one told me there were going to be questions. I was blindsided. I was made to be the sacrificial lamb, led to the slaughter of the questions that were very hard to answer and could only result in me being racist and unprofessional and mean to my coworkers.
Side note, I feel like we just took a journey through accents.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's not my forte.
No, it's
that's why I'm on the radio.
It was amazing. Thank you.
But the moral of the story is Sharon had this whole story concocted about how she'd been blindsided. Well, Cheryl's like, okay, can I just share with you this whole blindsided nonsense? She said none of the questions that she had asked, because again, Cheryl was the moderator that day.
Right.
Posing questions to Sharon and company. She said that she was the moderator and that none of the questions came from higher ups. Again, Sharon says, you know, the people higher up, they had these questions and they wanted to surprise me with them. And so they forced the people down below to ask these questions.
Mm-hmm.
No, she goes on to say that even before the discussion went south, she was trying very hard to frame the conversation in such a way that it didn't come off as an attack. So despite the questions that she asked, she was even in her head at the time, Cheryl, thinking, I don't want this to seem like I'm attacking Sharon, right?
Which
also tells you a lot about Cheryl.
Right.
And then knowing Sharon's side of the story tells you a lot about Sharon.
And it should. And one of the things to realize is that in the telling of the story of how things went down, Cheryl Underwood still bends over backwards to be gracious about the friendship that she felt she has had with Sharon Osbourne over time. And so you do get the sense that this was a conversation that was starting from a respectful place.
Yeah.
And the kind of work on the back end that Sharon is doing to try to save face is just really a cover for somebody who won't own their stuff.
Oh, yeah. This is all
That's all that is.
This is, and you all have these people in your life who, and you have, and they're probably children. Mm. And if they're not children, they're adults with arrested development. Wherein, and you might recognize this behavior, somebody launches a temper tantrum to distract from what they feel is their responsibility.
Right.
So this is not new. It's not unusual behavior, but it tells a very specific picture. And in this case, it tells us that Sharon Osbourne was completely unprepared. And just to reiterate how Cheryl was dealing with this, she said, you know, in my gut, I thought this was going to go left. And so I wanted to put it in proper order to be very calm. But there were a few people who criticized me for doing that. They're like, why do you give any bleeps about somebody's feelings? They have no bleeps about yours. And she goes on to say, but it to me, it was not about the reaction of the person. Cheryl or Sharon.
Mm-hmm.
It's more about me, Cheryl, and who I'm trying to evolve and mature to be. So she's like, I could have taken the easy way and just like called out Sharon for being, you know, what she was, but we all saw her for what she was. So Cheryl didn't feel the need to show us because
we have eyeballs.
And instead, she decided that she was going to just be the best version of herself that she could be, because at the end of the day, and she says this later, that she wouldn't do anything different because she did everything that she thought she should have done.
You know, integrity is being able to, at the end of the night, put your head down on the pillow and know that you've done your best.
Yep.
And I think Cheryl Underwood acted in that moment with the utmost integrity. You know, were there other options of how she could have handled it? Absolutely. But the most important thing is that she's able to put her head down and rest easy with what she did do.
Yeah.
The person who did not act with integrity at all, and is still, by the way, not acting with integrity, because if she were acting with integrity, she would take a moment to step back and reflect on what her part may have been in this. And she might not get it right, but Sharon Osbourne has not for one moment taken a look and thought, what is it possible that what a lot of other people are saying is true?
Yeah.
Is that a possibility?
Yeah.
She has not even asked that question because she's so busy dancing so fast to try to defend herself and throw other people under the bus. And that's not acting with integrity.
No. She did drop some tea, though, some shade, if you will, about Sharon. She goes, now, I had heard things. She talked about when she first met Sharon and got to work with Sharon. She's like, well,
This is Cheryl Underwood.
This is Cheryl. Yeah. Cheryl's saying, I automatically just fell in love with her because I just like her. And I heard things. And I was like, well, that has nothing to do with me. My thing is, I'm going to get to know her. But I had heard things. And I got phone calls of this and that. And so what I said to those people, I said, thank you for the information. Because listen, in this business, you've got all types of personalities. Mm-hmm. She would not share specifics about what she heard. But she said that those things were later confirmed in hindsight.
Well, what I think is interesting about that, and it actually makes me respect Cheryl Underwood a lot, is the fact that she said, you know, I took note, I was aware, but I just liked her. But now that Sharon Osbourne has shown everybody who she is, what would Maya Angelou say?
When people show you who, when people show you who they are, believe them.
Exactly. And now she knows.
Yeah. And now we all know.
And that's...
The only person who ceases to know...
Is, well, Sharon Osbourne and Piers Morgan.
Yeah. Which we'll get to him later.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Stick a pin in him. but in and the meantime...
Fork, because he's done!
Okay! Hey!
But we're not!
When we come back, Elizabeth Reese is bringing us all the dirt straight from Hollywood. It's a Dirt Alert on My Talk 107.1.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
It is time for a Dirt Alert with the beautiful Elizabeth Reese. Hello, Elizabeth.
Hello, friends. It's a great day to be with you.
And also with you.
Very much appreciated. Okay, let's talk dirt, shall we? So Matt James and Rachel may be back together. Matt James was The Bachelor.
Okay.
And I was like, I don't know who this is.
This is why I'm helping you. Matt James was the last Bachelor, the first Black Bachelor. So there was a big deal there. And Rachel is the woman that he picked to give the final rose to. Now, he did not propose to her, but he said that he wanted to continue a relationship with her off the show. Well, then there was all sorts of controversy because there were photos of Rachel at a racially insensitive party, for lack of better terms, that went public. Chris Harrison defended her in those photos.
Yeah.
And then he ended up taking a leave from the franchise. Rachel and Matt broke up. And now there are rumors that they're back together. Here's what Reality Steve tweeted. He said, it's been a while, but here's some news. Matt and Rachel, yeah, they're not over. They're currently in New York together. FYI. Reality Steve knows everything about these reality shows.
Do we know anything about Reality Steve? Like, have we ever met Reality Steve?
No, but it would be fun. He would be a really good person to get a hold of and interview on your show in particular.
Because he's totally one of us. Yeah. I mean, Reality Steve was NT lawyer before we knew NT lawyer.
Yep, that's absolutely true.
He's been spilling the tea on the Bachelor and Bachelorette franchise since the beginning.
He always says who the person is that won, and then you have to decide as a human, how do you want to live? Do you want to live as a person who watches the show and knows what happens at the end? Mm. Are you a person who reads the last page of a book before you even start the book? Some people are like that.
Yeah.
Others want it to be a surprise, and so then they avoid Reality Steve.
I was a half-timer, so I would get about halfway through, and then when...
You always went to Reality Steve.
About
you'd be
halfway
like,
through.
Do you want to know? Because I do.
Well, because I would be... The first half, I'd be like, I'm not going to go. And then one day, I just couldn't take it anymore, and then I'd go, and then I would hold it over Bradley the whole time.
Look at that.
Mm-hmm. I know. So nice of her.
On that After the Final Rose, where Rachel and Matt talked about being broken up, she said... You know, she apologized profusely and talked about the work that she knew that she needed to do in order to understand why that type of party was inappropriate and what that meant. And Matt James at the time said that he just couldn't be there to be part of that work for her. But, you know, I think there was still love there. So you know, maybe she's been working through some things and they've had some conversations.
I am hopeful, like, you know, if/when this becomes a public thing, I hope there will be a public conversation about how they navigated that.
I think so. That would be really great, Colleen.
Yeah, because I think it's important to expose people to the work and expose people to the fact that, you know, people can learn and change. They yes. can. We don't always want to believe that in 2021. But it's true.
Yeah. And, people can also forgive. Right. And being,
but it happens.
It's yeah, all, exactly. And there's also like, there's a spectrum, right? I mean, there's a spectrum of sort of racism. I mean, there's systemic racism in the system that we're all part of, but then there's also ignorance. There's, you know, and this isn't defending her in any way. It's just a matter of like, you also need to know people on an individual level. And I think, you know, sometimes we take this cancel thing a little bit too far.
Mm.
We got to give people a chance. If you don't have a chance to get better, we don't have hope for anybody, guys.
Yes. However, when somebody is showing you that they are not capable,
that's different.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Right. That's different. Mm-hmm. And I don't think she really did that. I mean, I think there was a real acknowledgement at the beginning. I didn't follow it exactly to a T, but that's sort of my guess. Listen, yeah. If these two kids are in love and they work through it, then that's nice.
Yeah. Who are we to?
Yeah, they've already got the odds stacked against them. They met on a reality show.
Yeah, right.
They met on The Bachelor. Their chance of relationship survival is about 15%, even just coming out of that, much less add all this other stuff on.
I feel like you're starting to see the light, Elizabeth Reese.
I know, I am. It's ruining. You guys are ruining something really special for me. And you better figure out.
You know what? Girl, you did this to yourself. No. You started this journey.
You need to figure out what I'm going to do with my Monday nights to bring joy into my home again.
Okay.
Now that you've ruined things for me.
We can come up with plenty of things to distract you.
Great.
It may take you a while to, you know, accept them, but.
Well, please send a list by Friday.
We'll get you on your journey. Okay.
I appreciate you. Okay, let's talk about the Tiger Woods crash, shall we?
Yes.
So there is lots of conversation. There are rumors from a source who talked to People magazine who said that he is working so hard at rehabilitation and that he wants to get back out and golf, that is the goal of Tiger Woods. So now we're getting some updates on the accident that led to this situation. His right leg in very bad shape. He had to have surgeries to try to fix it, and then he's going to have continued problems afterwards. And here's what's being reported by TMZ today, that Tiger Woods was driving 75 miles an hour at the time of the crash. The sheriff there in California, in LA, saying the official cause of the accident was speed and inability to navigate the curvy road.
Yeah, I think we should also add that he was driving that speed, and the speed limit for that particular area, I think, was like 45 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's, I mean, pretty considerable difference, and also a windy and dangerous road.
Yes. There was no evidence Tiger tried to brake before the collision.
That is
Investigators
weird.
Now mm-hmm. believe Tiger inadvertently stepped on the gas instead of the brake when he realized he was losing control.
Ooh.
There's a data recorder inside this vehicle that's giving them that information.
Interesting.
So this is what the sheriff said. When you panic, your initial thought is to hit the brake. It's believed that he may have done that, but hit the accelerator instead of the brake. So they didn't find any evidence of prescription medication or alcohol at the crash scene. Tiger Woods showed no signs of impairment. And, you know, that's not only always something that they look at, but Tiger Woods did get in another car incident in which he was under the influence of
this prayer. Is one of those delightful lessons of, like, be careful before you judge. Because I think immediately after it happened, we were all like, oh.
What was he on?
Right.
But this, you know, again, sometimes freak accidents happen.
Yeah,
and I wouldn't quite call this freak. The freak part, I think, is the stepping on the gas, because that's a freak thing. But like speeding.
The speed preceding that is a problem.
Yeah.
Officials also saying there's no evidence Tiger was a distracted driver. They don't believe that he was texting on his cell phone during the crash. So that's what's happening there.
Boy. Yikes.
I know, but he's got a long road.
He does, but here's what I will say. When somebody has a passion like he has for golf, you will often see them do things far beyond what many think they will be capable of. And I'm not saying he will or won't be able to golf again, but the drive to achieve that will be something that will, propel him beyond what even doctors might think is possible.
You're totally right. Yeah. Tom Brady's rookie card sold for $2.25 million. He says he should have kept a few.
I didn't even mean to sell it. Just kidding. That never happened.
Thanks, friends.
Elizabeth Reese, thank you so much for that dirt alert. Hey, when we come back, on the Colleen and Bradley Show, we are going to solve some pop culture mysteries. We do it every day in the form of blind items that Holly's going to bring for us in a segment we call Blinded by the Item after this on My Talk 107.1. We've got some pop culture mysteries to solve on the Colleen and Bradley Show, My Talk 107.1, streaming live at MyTalk1071.com. Everything Entertainment, Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer, your resident pop culture detectives, here to solve some pop culture mysteries in a little segment we call Blinded by the Item.
Yeah, we do.
Blinded by the Item.
Since you guys are detectives, do you think if we ask hard enough that we can all get Murphy beds?
I want to.
Like the old school detectives had in their
California
offices.
Closets has Murphy beds, you guys.
Really?
I mean...
Well done.
It's a thing. No, those are legit still a thing.
That's mm-hmm. very exciting to learn. Thank you
for letting
us know.
CaliforniaClosets.com.
I got some celebrity gossip mysteries that have some words.
Well, we have ears and we're ready to listen.
Here's our first one.
Okay.
This recently arrested housewife has totally blown off the advice of her attorney. He told her to stop filming. She said no.
Ooh.
He said the feds will use every bit of footage that is shot and use it against her. She didn't care. He said to live modestly. She went and rented a house she can't even afford without using her ill-gotten gains.
Mm.
She thinks she'll get a slap on the wrist like the famous moms in the college admission scandal. But they didn't steal from others. She's really living in this whole other world. Anti-lawyer suspects her attorney will quit in the next few weeks.
Yikes.
So this has to be that Jen Shah lady.
Okay. What? Okay. No, we're still here, guys. Don't worry.
That was me clicking the wrong thing.
It happens.
And there went my blind item. Somebody erased my... What's happening?
What's going on? Ghosts, I think that was me.
Okay, there you go. Thank you.
It's just we're melting down, kids. Two segments and we can't even hold it together.
So let me fill in the blank for you guys. So Jen Shah, who was recently arrested for the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, has blown off all the good advice from her attorney. He told her to stop filming, but Jen Shah said no, because the feds will use every piece of footage that is shot and use it against her. But Jen Shah didn't care. The attorney said to live modestly. So Jen Shah went and rented a house that she can't even afford without using her ill-gotten gains. Because Jen Shah thinks that she'll get a slap on the wrist, like the famous moms in the college admission scandal. But big difference, they didn't steal from others.
Mm.
Jen Shah is living in a whole other world. An anti-lawyer predicts that her attorney's going to quit in the next few weeks.
Okay, well.
You guys... This
is one of those stories that I just wouldn't follow otherwise, because it's, you know, a Real Housewives related thing. But the story itself makes me want to go back and understand what a Jen Shah is. And mm-hmm. did everybody see this coming? Like, were they like, oh, of course she did this?
Well, I think from what I understand of the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City is that people would ask Jen Shah, well, how do you get your money? And she would be like, well, it's marketing things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, not giving you a lot of clear answers.
Right. Kind of like a Kardashian.
Yeah.
Oh, she's in marketing. Sorry, did I say that out loud?
Well, I mean, you know, people take a pay, like, people look at people like the Kardashians and think, I'm going to do that.
But then they don't mm-hmm. realize, well, like anti-lawyer's saying, if Jen Shah thinks that she's a celebrity and she's going to be treated like Lori Loughlin in the college admission scandal,
Good luck to you, ma'am.
Yeah, good luck to you.
Yeah.
Also, two different things. Also, Jen Shah faces up to 30 years in prison.
Ooh. Also, like, can we take a look at other housewives who've found themselves in jail?
Oh, yeah, Teresa Giudice.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's more apples to apples.
Yeah.
I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
We wish her the best.
Do we?
No.
I just want them to bring back Chicago Mob Wives.
Oh. Did you hear? I'm sorry. We need to take a pause. Bradley, did you hear who died?
Oh, don't tell me. Can I guess? Is it somebody from Chicago Mob Wives?
No, sort of.
Oh, sort of.
Not really. Not even Chicago. It's somebody connected to Big Ange.
Oh, no.
Her sister. I'm so sorry.
What was her sister's name?
I'm going to find out. I saw it the other day and I was like...
Was it Little Deb?
Yes, I believe so. Maybe
Janine DeTore?
Yeah.
No.
Hold on. It's in the news.
It's in the news.
It was Janine. Look. Janine DeTore.
Oh.
I'm sorry. Was she blonde? Wasn't she a blonde? You
know, now, why am I not seeing this anymore?
Did you just make that up?
No,
did you
just I saw it. I hope I didn't make that up. Maybe. Oh, no. Hold on.
You killed somebody else.
No, I know I saw it. Okay. Linda Torres. It was Linda Torres. And it was. Is that her sister? Whatever.
All I see is headlines. Angela Big Ange Rayola's sister, Janine DeTore, yeah, talks her. Feud. That's No. She's not dead.
Here, honey. I'm going to put it right here. I'm going to put it right
here. Janine DeTore is different.
Linda Torres is the one that died.
Oh, Linda's her friend, Linda.
Okay, so maybe not her sister.
Yeah,
her
that's not her sister.
Sorry.
Yeah, oh. That's the blonde who would like get in the hot tub.
Isn't that sad?
Yeah. Oh, that makes me so sad. I miss Big Ange. I am sorry for Linda and her family. And I would like a Chicago Mob Wives reunion.
Me too.
That's not an Andy Cohen thing. That was like a VH1 thing.
That was VH1.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
They need to bring that show back because you guys are... We need a Minneapolis Mob Wives. I don't think we have any.
I don't know. We had some active mob situations here.
I don't want to know about those. Oh, back in the day. Yes. For sure.
So there's got to be some descendants.
True.
Kicking it around here.
True. Preferably with big hair, ostentatious jewelry choices.
And very Minnesota. Long, loud nails.
We're not going to have that. We don't do that here. So it would be like the passive-aggressive mafia.
Yeah, and they probably
like,
have...
I don't know. I don't know about her.
Yeah, with some feathered hair.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Melissa Peterman style.
No.
Like from Fargo.
Oh, yeah. Like from Fargo.
Do not say an ill word about Miss
No, I'm Melissa saying her Peterman. Role in yes. Fargo, yes, you boob.
Yes, yeah. Gold Bears aesthetic.
Yeah.
Big time.
Okay, now, I'm sorry. I had to just get that out. Okay.
All right, take us back to the blind item's house. Blinded
by the item. Now that we've solved absolutely nothing, maybe we can try
to
solve
it. Took you on
this.
A nice journey in the process.
It's true.
You're welcome.
Another celebrity gossip mystery. There are some trade reports out today which highlight the battle between the illiterate foreign-born A-list actress and the awful writer, director, producer, all-around bleep.
Ooh.
What none of the trades digs deep on is how the actress walked away the winner in her battles. And it's because the director of her big solo movies knew all about the mistress of the studio head and used it to her full advantage. It didn't save the studio head in the end, but it gave our actress and her director a big win when they needed it.
So we need to find an illiterate, foreign-born A-list actress.
Yes, find her.
So a foreign-born actress who was basically keeping this guy's secret for her own benefit?
Well, the director that she had worked with in the past, they had a big secret that they knew about the studio head.
Oh, got it. Mm-hmm. So there's three people.
Yeah.
The awful writer, director, producer, is that a Harvey Weinstein?
No.
Oh.
But this person has been making headlines for quite some time for his gross behavior.
May I quickly ask the question of, can we get like an age range for this actress?
She's in her 30s.
Okay.
Oh, is it like a, that she's foreign. Foreign born.
Yeah. Is it, and when we say foreign born, are we thinking Canada or otherwise?
Otherwise.
Okay. All right. Okay. What are we working with?
So, I think the writer, director, producer, is that a Bryan Singer?
No.
Are we going to get to the director,
You'll
producer,
get to
person?
The nug, yes. Because this guy is now well known.
Mm-hmm. As a gross McGrosser pants.
A gross McGrosser pants and an all-around jerk.
Is he more like, what is he most known for? Writing, directing, or producing?
All of it.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
So then it's got to be somebody so obvious. Like, who's a jack of all trades?
He's a big to-do, or at least he was at some point in time. He's worked in both television and film. And he was a part of a franchise at one point in time. And that franchise had a revised version of the movie he worked on released on HBO Max, and everybody likes it now. Yep.
It's all sounding very
familiar. It sounds familiar, but I'm not going to be able to name him. So I kind of want to focus on the illiterate foreign-born A-list actress for a moment.
Yes. She plays a big role.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. In a cinematic universe.
Mm-hmm.
Fans.
Not Fifi Foo Foo fans.
She plays a superhero.
Oh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I know. I can see her. She's Captain Marvel, right?
Nope.
Not her.
She's like, I'm seeing it. I'm mm-hmm. seeing it. It's Captain Marvel. I'm totally confident. Not at all.
Completely other. The opposing cinematic universe.
Okay, different cinematic universe.
To Captain Marvel.
Let's move over
Captain
here.
Captain Marvel is the... See, we're not in the right territory.
Uh-huh. No, we're
What country is she from?
She's from Israel.
Oh, Gal Gadot. And the... I don't, but I'm not going to get the director, am I?
That's okay. Let me fill in the blank.
Yeah.
Room,
right? I think that's a good plan.
I'll give myself a ding.
Okay, good. You have the answers, but by all means.
There are some trade reports out today which highlight the battle between Gal Gadot and Joss Whedon.
Aha.
Uh-huh. What none of the trades dig deep on is how Gal Gadot walked away the winner in her battles because Patty Jenkins, the director of the Wonder Woman movies, knew all about the mistress of the studio head of Warner Brothers and used that information to her full advantage. Now, it didn't save the studio head of Warner Brothers because he was fired in the end, but it gave Gal Gadot and Patty Jenkins a big win when they needed it.
Huh.
Because Gal Gadot and Joss
Sisters
Whedon
are doing it for themselves.
Yes, they
That's juicy.
They had the details about this mistress from the head of Warner Brothers. So when they needed to have him be in their corner against Joss Whedon, that's how they got him there. Because they were like, well, we've got receipts on you, sir.
I mean, it's good to have friends, but it's also good to have information.
If she was wearing the Wonder Woman costume when she put that on the table.
Well, I hope
yeah,
so.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be exciting.
Right?
But probably
And not. Then flew away in her invisible plane. Mm. In the movie, does she have an invisible plane?
Yes.
And do they show her just like sitting like...
Well, she's sitting in a plane. That's in the second Wonder Woman 1984.
But is it invisible?
Is invisible?
Well, yeah, but, you know, they're sitting in a cockpit together, so that's
Which
not invisible.
Isn't invisible?
No, because then the on cockpit. The outside...
I find that to be really confusing. I have a really
Well, because in the cartoon, you just saw Wonder Woman flying around in her invisible jet, but you could see her, which
so wait, why
seems
can
somewhat,
she see it?
Somewhat
antithetical.
Counterproductive.
So they worked around that.
Wouldn't the invisible walls cover up the person?
Well, you would think
you
so,
would
Colleen.
Think, but
I don't
in the
really
cartoon,
feel like anybody thought this all the way through. And then also, why is it not invisible to her, too?
Well, because then she wouldn't know where she left it. And it'd be like you at the mall trying to figure out...
Where my car is.
Yeah, like going beep, 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 beep.
When we come back on the Colleen and Bradley show, we need to revisit our new publationship because they are out and about. We call them Wodgers.
Wodgers.
They're so cute.
We'll tell you.
Widow Wodgers.
We'll tell you what they're up to after this on My Talk 107.1. This is the Colleen and Bradley Show on My Talk 107.1, streaming live at mytalk1071.com. Everything entertainment. Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer.
Hello.
And it's time for us to check in on a new publationship we've been talking about. Bradley, what's a publationship?
It's a relationship for publicity.
And what is a Wodgers?
Wodgers is Shailene Woodley and Aaron Wodgers.
Oh, they're so cute.
They're so cute.
Only not really.
Why are we talking about them? Because they won't let us stop.
So the lies continue, y'all. And Shailene Woodley is not a good actress. I mean, in movies, yes. But in publationships, I don't know. There is a clip that we can play, although now that I say that, I didn't listen for swears, but I don't think she swears.
Oh, well, you never know. Let me double check.
Why don't you double check? But so while we're checking, we have plenty to talk about because I first came upon, you know, we just talked about the fact that they went to Disney. Oh, we just happened to show at Disney World. Mm-hmm. And we're kissing and hugging and showing each other some public affection. Mm-hmm. I wonder why. I wonder why. Mm-hmm. Right? We speculated.
Yeah.
We, in fact, had a listener call in who was like, he's trying to make a lot of money on a new contract.
Yeah.
And so showing that you are a big darn deal at a time when you're asking for money
mm-hmm.
makes sense. Also, recently appearing as a celebrity guest judge on...
Geoparty. Yes.
So that happened yesterday. Well, today, it's all about the man bun kids. So over at Us Weekly, they were like, oh my God, Shailene Woodley is giving us a super peek at his super sexy Aaron Rodgers man bun.
Okay. Is it sexy, first of all?
Well, it's a man bun.
Yeah.
It's not even a man bun. It's like barely a man bun. And like as someone who lives with a person who is now sporting the beginnings of a man bun, thanks to COVID hair. Sure, they're sexy. Hair is sexy. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so I checked in on this story, and Shailene Woodley gave us a look at the 37-year-old's new look with some behind-the-scenes snaps.
Okay.
And she says, I'm sorry, I'm horrible. You guys, I have a very important announcement to make. This guy right here is super sexy, super attractive. He just shaved his neck this morning, has a little man bun growing. Oh, yeah, rocking his new shades. Or actually, she was rocking her new shades, which, by the way, I'll get to because they're going to make your eyes roll out of your head. Her new shades, by the way, also came along with a $90,000 engagement ring.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. When you said a $90,000, I thought you were going to say price tag. Like
she was talking about her shades, but like with her hand
showing
ring, a $90,000 ring.
Okay, wait. Okay.
This guy's hosting
Jeopardy tonight. I'm sitting on a lot of things right now. I'm sitting on a lot of things. Can I release one?
Well, I mean, it's appropriate for air. Well,
first of all,
God, we're in separate studios.
Do you remember yesterday when we saw the pictures of them like making out?
Because I just told you about that.
Right. But do you remember what I noticed when I said there's something missing? What was missing?
Oh, her ring. Oh, well, you don't think she's going to walk through the plebs with a $90,000 ring on?
Why get it? Why have it in the first place? You know what I'm saying?
All for show. And you're right. It's probably fake, and she just leaves it in the glove box to pull it out for
little cubic zirconia.
But there would be a reason then why she would be like showing it out. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, look at my
I'm wearing my ring. Oh,
look, I'm eating this churro with my left ring. Hand.
Right? Yeah. Okay, so to me that feels a little bit like, oh, people got wind of the fact that she wasn't wearing a ring, so she better show it off.
Yeah.
It's number one. Can I release another one or no?
Please release the Kraken.
Okay, so here's the other piece that has been bothering me, but this is so obvious, and I just want everybody to just sit and think about this. When we talk about it being a publicationship, there's always voices in the crowd that are like, you guys have ruined like celebrity relationships for me. It's real, and they're so cute together. Okay, no, listen. Do not allow the wool to be pulled over your eyes. Yeah. Open your eyes and see clearly. Do you all remember that we didn't even know they were a couple until they got engaged? Okay.
Correct.
And so that would lead you to believe what? They are private, right? Then why are they parading out in front of all the cameras now?
Yeah. I mean, see, but people only have opinions about what they see. They don't think about
what they don't see.
What they don't see. And they don't think about who's creating the sea.
Right.
Like what you see. I'm sorry, I'm not being very articulate,
but what
I'm saying is,
you meant.
Like, people don't go beyond that, which I don't blame them. People are busy. You guys are busy. You're out there doing stuff, staying safe, living life.
Yeah.
Trying to make a way in the world today takes everything you've got.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't we head away?
Mm-hmm. Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name.
So just come back to us because we'll do the work for you. And the work we're doing is to ask the questions like, why are you seeing all of these things?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's up for debate. But I think our listener yesterday who called us and was like, oh, he's up for a contract. But wait, there's more. Remember, I said that there was some audio.
Yeah.
If we could now listen, the man bun experience continues in a video that she posted.
Now, I think that the video that's embedded in this article is the same thing that you guys just read. So I don't know where to drop the needle. I'll drop it from the beginning.
Actually, this is different because I think one was in the car.
One was in the car, right. Yeah. Oh, there's another one. Oh, geez, I didn't listen to this.
Uh-oh.
No, I think you're in the right place.
Well, now I have to sit through this ad.
It's the first one where she said, it's the first video, right? Yeah, it's the first video where it says greasy hair.
Mm.
Are you on the second article?
They're first sitting video. On the couch and he's wearing a beanie.
Yes, yes, yeah. That's the one.
I haven't listened to this.
Oh, you know
there
what we're going to do?
I watched it before. It's not sweary.
All right, here we go for 3 seconds.
From that little story to answer, thanks for watching the show tonight. And we know it's halftime of the national championship.
I don't know what that is. That's not the video. We'll talk about it on the other side of this break.
Perfect.
When we get, and then we'll go on to the question.
Yeah, it's but
we'll
all good. Just
we'll tie it up.
We'll close the loop after this on Wodgers. We'll close the Wodgers whoop after this on My Talk 107.1.